RCE at 107.7 FM, W299 CD, Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Five people dead after Japan Airlines jet and Coast Guard plane collided at a Tokyo airport. Both planes burst into flames. Everyone on the airliner survived and evacuated safely. Six people, including a senior Hamas leader, taken out in Beirut.
There's been no claim of responsibility, but Hamas, as well as Lebanese media and some other outlets and organizations, are saying that the Israelis have carried out a drone strike on those the people there.
In Rochester, New York, police say three people are dead, others injured after a rented SUV full of gas canisters struck a smaller SUV and burst into flames. The dead driver of the rental, Michael Avery, is suspected of doing it intentionally. The embattled president of Harvard University is stepping down from her post. Claudine Gay had been under pressure from prominent alumni and congressional Republicans to resign after her panned testimony on Capitol Hill. This is ABC News.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. After three consecutive years of record-breaking numbers of shootings in Milwaukee, the numbers declined in 2023. Gun crimes are still roughly double that of pre-pandemic levels. As of December 27th, there were 171 homicides in 2023. That's 20% lower than the record 215 homicides in 2022. The names of six Republicans and one Democrat will appear on Wisconsin's presidential primary ballots for now. That list includes Donald Trump and President Biden. The Presidential Preference Selection Committee met this morning. Candidates who want to be taken off the list have until the 30th to say so. Candidates who want to be added will have to collect signatures to qualify. Wisconsin's primary is April 2nd. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
More news from the Center, WRCE. I'm Jimmy Kuska. Three people were arrested Saturday in Iowa County and are accused of kidnapping a child. The sheriff's office said that two men and a woman from South Dakota were taken into custody as suspects in a Silver Alert case from Indiana where an 11-year-old girl had been abducted. The vehicle they were driving in was spotted in Barneveld before the arrest on Highway 18-151. All three people arrested had a warrant out for kidnapping a child in Indiana. The State Elections Commission says three candidates have filed to run for the vacant Sauk County Circuit Court judge seat in Branch 3. Incumbent Pat Barrett is not seeking re-election. Blake Duren, Nancy Thome, and Jesse Lickenring have all registered to run for the seat, but as of Friday, only Duren had completed his nomination paperwork. Today is the deadline to file paperwork to run in an election that appears on the spring election ballot, although candidates can register as a write-in all the way up until the Friday before the election. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
The Bucks lose to the Pacers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks lost at home to the Indiana Pacers, 122-113. Although Giannis scored 30 points and had 18 rebounds, he was asked what was missing from his team.
Offensive, I don't think it was bad. I think, we did turn the ball over one time, if I remember well. It was like we couldn't get a stop. And they were able to get them in.
The loss snapped the Bucks' 15-game winning streak at home. The series continues Wednesday in Indianapolis. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers lost the ReliaQuest Bowl in Tampa to LSU. The final 35-31, Badgers head coach Luke Fickell.
It's a lot of hot air. That's why I don't like to make statements up here. I don't like to say things that we're going to do moving forward because ultimately you are what you put on film. You know, whether it's your culture, whether it's the things that you want to do. We know darn well that we didn't finish well this year. We didn't finish well. We didn't start well. There's a lot of things. It gives us a hell of a lot of things that we got to start working on here on January 14th when our guys get back rolling.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. Mostly cloudy today, with high temperatures rising into the mid-30s. By this afternoon, we'll be battling a breezy southwest wind gusting up to 20 miles per hour. And overnight, a cold front starts to push in, bringing chances of flurries by tomorrow morning, which could linger throughout tomorrow afternoon. Currently, it's 31 degrees.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Ithaca's choice for news, talk, and sports. News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide and live on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right back to the front lines of history in the making. This is one thing that blew me away. There's a lot of stuff that's going on, especially in the Republican Party, that just blows you away. You can't imagine it. Just now, Florida has a head financial guy. They call him the chief financial officer, which is really something more in line of a corporation, a private corporation. The chief financial officer reports to the CEO and the chairman. But in Florida, I don't know, I think they have a separate treasurer, but whoever the main numbers person is, it's the chief financial officer. This clown just came out with a proposal. This had been kicked around before, but now it's getting formalized. For Florida taxpayers to pay Trump's legal bills. Yes, for Florida taxpayers to pay Trump's legal bills. Now, they have a gerrymandered legislature. They have DeSantis, who will suck up to Trump mercilessly, I think hoping he's going to be picked up as the VP candidate. And these clowns could easily ram this through. There's a question in my mind how constitutional it is, but the fact is that I don't know that a federal court will try to intervene in the states doing this. And I want to put aside some logistics for a second. I don't want to get into, well, what incentive does Trump have to negotiate reasonable legal fees? Some clown lawyer somewhere, Sidney Powell, can say, I want $10 million. As long as the Florida taxpayers are paying it, what the heck? But the way they are crafting this, in my opinion, is a violation of the Constitution, probably the Florida Constitution. There is a rule of law that says that you can't have a statute that is directed to benefit one person. In other words, you can't put in characteristics that only apply to one person. Let's say the governor of a state and the legislature say, any individual in this state who has red hair, is missing his left arm, and was born in Baraboo, doesn't have to pay income taxes. Under the Wisconsin Constitution and the federal Constitution, that would be an unconstitutional statute because it's clearly meant to describe only one individual, in all likelihood, only one individual. Well, that's what they've done with Trump. They say any, quote, any Florida resident who is running for president and who is indicted, I'm not kidding, who is indicted, shall have his legal fees paid by Florida taxpayers. Well, duh. How many Florida residents run for president? How many of them are indicted? And, you know, the other thing is, what you're going to find is felons, people charged, are immediately going to run for president. They'll just say, I'm running for president, and I want my legal fees paid. But then they could put, you know, he has to be 40% in the polls. I mean, this is so crooked. Florida is a fine state. I have relatives in Florida, friends in Florida, good people. But it is a crooked state with Republican leadership. Scott, their senator, used to be their governor, took the Fifth Amendment in front of a grand jury when his healthcare company was indicted for Medicaid fraud and paid over $1 billion in fines, the largest settlement for that kind of fraud in history, and he was the head guy. So they naturally, the grand jury wanted to talk to him, and he said, I refuse to answer on the grounds that it might incriminate me. For some reason, the prosecutor didn't go after him personally. He should have, just because the guy's not willing to testify doesn't mean that the head guy should be gone after. And he thought, well, I need a job. So he moves to California, to Florida, and runs for governor. And he wins. And he's a bad governor. And then he runs for the Senate and he wins. And he's a bad senator. That's Florida. Very, very tired of that kind of stuff going down in Florida. Very, very tired of that kind of stuff going down in Florida. And if they end up paying Trump's legal fees by this designation of red-haired guy with one arm from Baraboo type of stuff, enough's enough. That has got to be called out. That has got to be called out. Now, I alluded to another issue just before we signed off for a bit. That issue was a lawsuit against Trump that I had not heard of. Many of you may not have heard of it. I thought I knew of all the bad stuff alleged against Trump. 91 felonies, 4 separate indictments. 4 separate indictments. He's a walking crime scene. He sheds people into the criminal justice system in bankruptcy like a dog sheds fleas. I mean, how many of his loyal supporters have been criminally charged? You know, 1,000 in the insurrection, ranging from, you know, a couple of days in jail to 20 years. Giuliani right now indicted, Meadows indicted. Chesbrough and Powell plead guilty to felonies to avoid jail and cooperate. Roger Stone, convicted, pardoned by Trump. You know, all of these people, he sheds crime. He's a walking crime scene, or bankruptcies. You have Giuliani trying to declare bankruptcy. He may not be able to do it because there's an exception in bankruptcy law. If the injury you caused was by your fraud, you can't go bankrupt. They can keep garnishing you and replevening you, getting your stuff, grabbing whatever they can the rest of your life because you committed fraud, and Giuliani certainly did. And Trump, funded by the Ruskies, Jared Kushner getting over $40 million a year for the rest of his life. Nobody's making a big deal out of that. Just like in the last Senate race here, Ron Johnson, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on several occasions on the front page editorialized that Ron Johnson was not fit to be a senator, yet he wins by racializing the race, essentially juxtaposing Mandela Barnes's picture along with the murderer of the Waukesha Christmas parade as if what? He had anything to do with that? He didn't. Deliberately darkening his skin. And the response of the Democrats, was it about, oh, well, he was in Moscow, Russia, 4th of July, 2018, sucking up to Putin 4 years after Putin invaded Crimea and took it away from Ukraine, yucking it up with the boys over there, yucking it up with the NRA. Gina Beauclair said, what are they doing over there? Guns are outlawed. The NRA doesn't care about your gun. They care about your money so they can take it. None of this stuff is discussed. Why isn't this discussed? Why is everybody talking about Hunter Biden? Hunter Biden's not getting $40 million a year the rest of his life from Chainsaw Charlie. But here is a case that I was not aware of and is going to trial, believe it or not, on January 29. Guess what? That's this month. That's this month. Trump has been accused in a civil complaint, and it's several years old now, of an alleged pyramid scheme soliciting Americans to invest in a loss-making video phone. It's a multi-level marketing scheme in association with a group called ACN, ACN Opportunity LLC, also known as American Communications Network. Trump received millions of, this is the allegation, the complaint. Trump received millions of dollars in secret payments to endorse and promote ACN, which is a marketing company. Video phones were prevalent in the 2000s. They were surpassed by smartphones with video chat capabilities. The subject, the thing at issue was some kind of a desk phone that's wired to a screen. And Trump promoted the product on his TV show, Celebrity Apprentice. This is the allegation of the complaint. And the judge has denied the motion to dismiss, motion for summary judgment, so he is going to trial. But he promoted it on his show without disclosing that ACN was paying him. An ad from the show said this, quote, personally endorsed by renowned entrepreneur and multi-billionaire, with a B, Donald J. Trump. He said ACN's video phones are generating $500 million worth of sales a year. That was false. Trump also told investors that he had experienced the opportunity and done a lot of research, and that his endorsement was not for a lot of money. None of that is true, according to the complaint. The clown takes, crooked Donald Trump takes millions of dollars, promotes it on his show, and then lies about not getting money. Here's his other statement, quote, you have a great opportunity before you at ACN without any of the risks that most entrepreneurs have to take. He was also paid secretly for allowing two of ACN's founders to appear on Celebrity Apprentice. Now, that is fraud that under some circumstances could be criminal fraud. Remember Trump University. Trump University, he said that, and you got to understand something else. Trump is not going in like Robin Hood to fleece the big guys. Trump's going in to fleece the little guys. Trump University, a woman asked about it. She, single mom. She had a child with autism. They said, how much do you have? She said, 30,000. That's all I have. They said, the fee will be 28,000. You'll meet Trump. You'll become a real estate entrepreneur. She took it. It was a Dale Carnegie course, like, you know, be buoyant in your sales. And then when it came time for the picture with Trump, it was a cardboard cutout. The guy is walking fraud, and he was with ACN. The trial's going on January 29th. Coming up. Very, very shortly, we are going to have two things. They're going to be a surprise. You're not going to believe them coming up.
God's going to cut you down.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Box Mike. Friday nights at 7 on News from the Center, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM WRCE. It's fully leaded education talk. Hard facts with a humorous twist. Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on News from the Center, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM WRCE, and on the Civic Media app.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skill through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back to Matchman Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Two surprise tidbits that I didn't believe. I didn't believe one of them. Guess how much money do you think that Republican presidential candidates have spent already in Iowa? Just Iowa, not nationally, just Iowa, Republican presidential candidates. Just Iowa, and the ones that had any money, of course, were Donald Trump and Nikki Haley, DeSantis somewhat, Chris Christie a little bit, Asa Hutchinson probably on fumes, probably running around with a sandwich board on and a bathing suit, trying to get attention. Vivek Ramaswamy has stopped theirs. But how much do you think in the aggregate? $100 million in Iowa. Now, I like Iowa. Friends in Iowa, very, very fine state, our sister state. Iowa has been described as Wisconsin without Milwaukee. Wisconsin without Milwaukee. They have a great university. Obviously, we do. We have a whole great university system. UW-Madison, UWM, the various system universities around the state. But $100 million, imagine somebody spending $100 million in Wisconsin, but not Milwaukee. Okay? So on Green Bay TV, Madison TV, Eau Claire and La Crosse, Rhinelander. And let's suppose you threw some bucks at Duluth because of you want to get the northern part of the state. I get it. $100 million, you could be on. And, you know, this is only over some months. You could you could buy the stations for $100 million. For $100 million, what I'm surprised is some of these campaigns, there's so many billionaire donors because of Citizens United putting vast sums. You know, I mean, Elon Musk is worth $250 billion. What's $100 million to him? It's $100 to you. Why don't they buy these stations? Buy these stations and have them slant their news there. I mean, this is unbelievable. Citizens United, unbelievable. Clarence Thomas, swing vote, 5-4, unbelievable. Unbelievable. They could carpet bomb Iowa. In a sense, probably they have. I was down there during one of the caucuses, but I think it was back in 2008. And people get very spoiled. You know, they're sitting in, there's a great Italian restaurant in Des Moines, I forget the name of it, sitting there having a nice meal, and people are telling me, well, you see presidential candidates here all the time. One woman, back in 2004, I was John Kerry's co-chairman of his primary campaign in Wisconsin. And in Iowa, a woman called up his campaign headquarters and said it was her 12-year-old daughter's birthday party, and they wanted Kerry to come as the guest of honor, speak to the 12-year-olds, middle school kids. And the campaign was very nice, and they said, well, that's very kind, but, you know, Iowa's a big state. We're going to be here and there. And she got angry, told people, I'm not going to vote for him. I mean, the sense of entitlement, this caucus thing has got to go. In my opinion, the Democrats have gotten rid of caucus election in Iowa, but the Republicans haven't. But also, the prominence of Iowa early on in both parties has got to go. It's a great state, but why not Wisconsin? Wisconsin has Milwaukee, much larger population, and frankly, our university system is internationally recognized. And if you're going to do a Midwestern state, you should do Michigan, Illinois, or Wisconsin, preferably Wisconsin. because I'm a Wisconsin guy. South Carolina is up there and all that, but $100 million absolutely blew me away. I'll also say this. Gene of Eau Claire raised the issue. This is the other thing that I hadn't really thought about. Raised the issue of the NRA. Why is the NRA in love with Russia? Why are they in love with Putin? It's illegal in Russia to have a gun, unless you are one of Putin's intimate supporters, you're in the military and that kind of thing. And even then, you're not going to carry a gun in public. So why does the NRA like it so much? The NRA likes it so much for two reasons, and also it's illuminated by something that just happened in New York litigation against them. They do it because they like autocracies. They like iron-fisted government. They hate democracy. And they like money. That's all their leadership is. So anybody out there, if you think this is the NRA of 40 years ago, you are wrong. You are dead wrong. If they thought their leadership could make money, they'd take your guns away in a heartbeat with the Patriot Act. Don't be deceived. So here's the deal. Here's the deal. There was just a development in New York litigation against the NRA, and we talked about it a long time ago. We read about it a long time ago. But Letitia James went into court suing Wayne LaPierre, the head of the NRA, and a couple of other of his running dogs. And the allegation was they had taken millions of dollars for their own benefit. Now, what amazes me is everybody goes against Hunter Biden, and I'm not defending him. Let due process take its course. For tax issues. He didn't pay about $1.5 million in taxes, but now he has. Roger Stone didn't pay more than that and then made it up, and that was handled civilly. They're going after Hunter criminally. Okay, fine. Figure it out. But there's a corruption trial going on in New York by Letitia James, because they were incorporated in New York, saying that the leadership diverted millions of dollars to themselves of NRA dues. Now, that should be prosecuted. It should at least be prosecuted for tax fraud because they don't declare it as income. And what it, some of it amounts to chartering private airplanes for them and their family to go on vacation and expensive vacations. Some of it is excessive compensation. And trying to sort that out into how much of that is tax fraud and how much of it is a non-taxable benefit obviously takes some legal skirmishing. So they moved to Texas to incorporate and declare bankruptcy. In Texas, Texas has ruled that it's a fraudulent bankruptcy, even Texas, for Pete's sake, for Pete's sake. So they go back to New York and they say, well, this is a political prosecution, selective enforcement, throw Letitia James out of court, and it just came down, they're not going to. So Wayne LaPierre and a couple of these other clowns are still facing that in New York. And I think it's about time. And I hope they get nailed with a very, very big judgment. Very big judgment. Coming up, a lot of news, a lot of weather. And I'll tell you what, the Hamas attacks on Israel and some disclosures of the New York Times front page on Sunday that will astonish you and disgust you. Coming up.
From the center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM. Richland County's choice for news, talk, and sports. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Respiratory viruses are on the rise. Officials say wastewater analysis shows more COVID-19 in the environment than this time last year. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says respiratory illnesses may be rising because fewer people are getting vaccinated. Health officials expect to see numbers rise even higher after Christmas and New Year's celebrations. New higher sales taxes are in effect in Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. Local officials voted for the increases last summer as part of a deal to increase the amount of shared revenue that state government returns to local communities. Combined with the state's 5% sales tax, consumers in Milwaukee are paying 7.9% in sales taxes, and the rest of Milwaukee County, it's 5.9%. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For news from the Center WRCE, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The State Elections Commission says three candidates have filed to run for the vacant Sauk County Circuit Court judge seat in Branch 3. Incumbent Pat Barrett is not seeking re-election. Blake Duren, Nancy Thom, and Jesse Lickenring have all registered to run for the seat, but as of Friday, only Duren had completed his nomination paperwork. Today is the deadline to file paperwork to run in an election that appears on the spring election ballot, although candidates can register as a write-in all the way up until the Friday before the election. Three people were arrested Saturday in Iowa County and are accused of kidnapping a child. The sheriff's office said that two men and a woman from South Dakota were taken into custody as suspects in a Silver Alert case from Indiana where an 11-year-old girl had been abducted. The vehicle they were driving in was spotted in Barneveld before the arrest on Highway 18-151. All three people arrested had a warrant out for kidnapping a child in Indiana. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
The Bucks lose to the Pacers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks lost at home to the Indiana Pacers, 122-113. Although Giannis scored 30 points and had 18 rebounds, he was asked what was missing from his team.
Offensive, I don't think it was bad. I think, okay, yeah, we did turn the ball over one time, if I remember well. It was like we couldn't get a stop. And they were able to get them in.
The loss snapped the Bucks' 15-game winning streak at home. The series continues Wednesday in Indianapolis. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers lost the ReliaQuest Bowl in Tampa to LSU, the final 35-31. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell.
It's a lot of hot air. That's why I don't like to make statements up here. I don't like to say things that we're going to do moving forward because ultimately you are what you put on film. You know, whether it's your culture, whether it's the things that you want to do. We know darn well that we didn't finish well this year. We didn't finish well. We didn't start well. There's a lot of things. It gives us a hell of a lot of things that we got to start working on here on January 14th when our guys get back rolling.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. Mostly cloudy today with high temperatures rising into the mid-30s. By this afternoon, we'll be battling a breezy southwest wind gusting up to 20 miles per hour. And overnight, a cold front starts to push in, bringing chances of flurries by tomorrow morning, which could linger throughout tomorrow afternoon. Currently, it's 31 degrees.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor, but I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
From Hillsboro to Highland, your choice for news, talk, and sports is News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
Welcome back to Matchland Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines in order. Do not hang up. Joe of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Joe. What's in your mind today?
Hey, Matt, great show as always. Wanted to just walk into the weeds a little bit with you, legal weeds, with you at the helm and with the compass in hand here, guide us. Here's my question for you. You had spoken earlier in the show, and maybe you could go back over this. I thought it was an incredible piece of information about Trump hiring an election analyst, I guess you would call it, and to say, go through and find evidence that this election has been stolen from me. The guy went through it and said, I can't find any evidence that says your election has been stolen. So we know that Trump had paid for a specialist out of his own dollars to find a way to stay in the game. And that guy had said, there's nothing there. There's no evidence. There's no way you can stay in the game. With that in mind, and maybe you can go back over the specifics of that exact guy's exact name, I would love it if you would return to this repeatedly, because I think it's a gem of a little piece of information here. In the same way, I've been hearing people say, well, Trump is not guilty of insurrection because otherwise the January 6th, many of the people from January 6th who've been charged and have gone to trial have not been charged with insurrection. They've been charged with lesser crimes or at most seditious conspiracy, which is two or more people overthrow the by force government property or levy war against the government, but they do it by force. And it with seditious conspiracy, as I understand it, Matt, it really speaks more to the idea of plotting and planning with another person to make something like this happen, whereas insurrection seems to have the flavor of it much more of violence. Now, it certainly can be said when Trump is saying to his people, walk to the Capitol, fight like hell, and take back our country, that, you know, and he knew well that they were going after Pence, and that was going to be hanging Pence, that he was very well acquainted with the idea that violence was a part of what was going on, and his refusal to send anybody in to stop the violence also speaks to that. But I'm curious to know, as it comes to this, is it because insurrection in the 14th Amendment is not defined? It's defined under federal law, as I understand it, but insurrection is not defined within the 14th Amendment. Does that make a difference with any of these cases that are churning up in regards to the 14th Amendment? And as a consequence of that, I'm so taken by a line that one of the judges had in this discussion. I'm sorry, I can't remember which one, but the quote was, it's important for us to apply the law without fear or favor. And I thought, boy, doesn't that just sum up where we are? The goal is to apply it without fear or favor, to no fear that the MAGAs are going to get mad and, geez, well, we better not even look at whether they're violations of the 14th Amendment because the MAGAs might get mad, and we sure wouldn't want that. But instead to say everybody is on the same playing field. And, boy, if it's one thing that's been true, Trump is not on the same playing field. He has had favor after favor after favor extended his way. So I'd be curious your reactions and your thoughts on those. That, man, I know it's kind of in the weeds, but I'm curious to hear what you have to say. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. Excellent. And then I see you on the lines. I'll get to you right after I respond now to Joe. And really two questions. First is Trump's hiring a legitimate voter data expert, which I had not known before. The guy's name was Ken Block. And he had a voter debt. He's a national expert, and Trump paid for it, presumably out of his campaign funds, and said, I want you to look at it. And the idea was, if you have a legit kind of beef about this, then go with it. Well, the problem with that is Ken Block was an honest guy, and he said, fine, you know, I'll look at it. And if there is relevant and kind of material voter fraud, I'll let that come out. Well, he did extensive research, and he came out with a report, and he said there wasn't. There were some trivial examples that were bipartisan, people that owned two homes, and they voted in both of them, people who lived with a relative, and the relative died, but the absentee ballot had already come, so they filled it out. And all of that is technically a felony. In some cases, it was prosecuted, but it wouldn't have meant one iota. Remember, Trump lost by 7 million popular votes and well over, I think, 30 or 40 electoral votes. So it would made no difference at all. And you can look it up. It's Ken Block, and his company was called the, and I named Simpatico Software Systems, and he's coming out with a book. It's going to be issued March 12th, and it's going to describe all of this, and his data was subpoenaed by the January 6th committee. With regard to Joe's other question about insurrection, is it defined? And some people on the other side go, well, the 1,000 people who have been convicted weren't convicted of insurrection. There's maybe seditious conspiracy, some of them trespass and so on. Well, here's the deal. Insurrection is a defined term. An insurrection is a movement to overthrow the government. What you don't want, and in autocracies, anybody who's critical of the government or runs against the government, in autocratic regimes, they'll say that's an insurrection because they want to change the government. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about by use of force, and in this case, the reason why that's pertinent is the 14th Amendment, Article 3, says that Trump, if he is guilty of insurrection, shouldn't be able to serve if he once took an oath to support the Constitution. Well, his arguments are very technical. One of them is, I didn't say I'd support the Constitution when I took the oath for president. I said I would preserve and defend it, as if that's any difference. You see, I mean, he used this kind of argument. But the second thing is, as far as I know, there were very few people among the 1,000 who had taken an oath to support the Constitution. Some of them did. There were some public officials, but most of them were just average citizens. And I think the feeling by prosecutors is some of them was misled. I mean, the head guy, Trump, lathers them up, gets them to Washington. They just did what he said. And he said, I'm going to go with you to the Capitol. And they probably thought, and this is something I'm sure a good lawyer would have argued on some of their behalf, is, you know, my guy here is not an educated guy. The head guy says he can go to the Capitol. The head guy should be able to kind of outrank the GSA, the General Services Administration, that administers some of these properties. And if Donald Trump says I can go into any building owned by the federal government and he's president, I should be able to go in. And I think some of them probably thought that. So as a matter of prosecutorial discretion, you don't go after them all for insurrection. You're not trying to keep them from running for public office again. So there you have it. Obviously, the Civil War was an insurrection. And this is an odd way to put it, but I would say this. An insurrection is any attempt to overthrow the government that's not successful. I mean, in a sense, if George Washington had been unsuccessful, he would have been hanged. And they would have said that was an insurrection. So what's going on, I think, with Jack Smith is Trump was the ringleader. He was the guy. He sheds criminality the way a dog sheds fleas. And I think that's the difference. I want to get briefly, there was a mind-boggling article in the New York Times Sunday edition 2 days ago, front page, top of the fold. You really should read it. And the New York Times reporters watched all 46 minutes that are available of the video of the attack by Hamas against Israeli civilians, particularly women, on October 7. And it churns your stomach to see what they did. I'm not going to go into it in great detail here because it's something that I just don't feel like talking about on radio. But basically, they all swarmed over. They were laughing, and they didn't just rape the women. The women they've executed, they would shoot them between the legs. They would mutilate them between the legs, including with nails. And the whole time, it wasn't just Hamas people. It was civilians that were with them laughing and shouting Allah Akbar, which was the phrase used by the hijackers on 9/11. And frankly, the other day at the 9/11 memorial, there was a crowd that gathered around shouting Allah Akbar. But you got to understand that this is not just an anti-colonial thing on the part of Hamas. This is part of a movement that ISIS is part of, Al-Qaeda is part of it, Hezbollah is part of it, Al-Shabaab is part of it, the Janjaweed are part of it. It's basically a theocratic attempt to overthrow anything other than themselves. And that includes Israel, whom they look on as kind of a soft target, which it isn't, but it also includes Europe and Christianity in the United States. And we have got to stop that. We've really got to stop the introduction of that. Now, there have been violent episodes in New York City as a result of New Year's Eve. And let me go over a couple of them. One of them is in Rochester, New York. A guy drives to Syracuse. He takes a hotel room. He rents a much larger van, has many, many cans of gasoline in it. And then he goes over near a venue. I think it's the Kodak Center where they're listening. I think it was a Grateful Dead tribute band and people are coming out. And he targeted them. And the thing burns and blows up. I think he's killed. He rams another car. Some of them are killed. And this is being investigated as an act of terror. The relatives say, well, he was probably mentally ill. I mean, I'm real tired of this, that every time there's an act of terror, somebody says he's mentally ill. Yes and no. You think that, but that is not always the case. The second was in Manhattan, down around 34th Street, about Madison Square Garden. A guy goes against the traffic very, very fast and ran. It's not clear if he went up on the sidewalk or rammed the restaurant, and a lot of people were injured. Then this morning, there were explosions on Roosevelt Island. Roosevelt Island is part of Manhattan. It's an island in the East River between Manhattan and Queens. And it's not certain whether that was just a maintenance issue or not, but there were many of them. And then again, there were protesters who started at Columbus Circle and went along Central Park South, 59th Street, towards Fifth Avenue, ended up in Macy's. And at Macy's, one of them takes a red smoke bomb and runs through the store. Protesters closed down the roads to LaGuardia and JFK Airport. This has got to stop. This has got to stop. Right now, what's happening is people are simply being given tickets to show up or dispersed, or they're permitted to do this. There have got to be arrests and deportations. This has got to stop. You can't have people that are at the LA airport trying to shut that down, intimidating people at our universities. This is not normal political, I should say First Amendment protected political protest, because absolutely the First Amendment covers protests. But they're protests that do not involve violence and do not involve Kristallnacht moments where you try to isolate Jewish people and beat them up, harass them, and scare them from going to college. This is America. And somebody's got to talk about this. And nobody right now is talking about it as bluntly as this. And I think it has to be talked about. A couple of other tidbits, and I want to pass some information on. On January 9, Jack Smith is holding, they're holding oral argument in the D.C. Court of Appeals on Trump's immunity defense. Jack Smith came up with a great argument. There is a statement by Trump in a prior case where he had, it was in his interest to argue that he wasn't covered by immunity after he left the, after he lost the presidency. So he's going to have a hard time wiggling out of that one. In the Red Sea, four healthy boats were attacking a commercial vessel. Our Navy came in, sank three out of the four. Iran just put a warship in the Red Sea. And they've been attacking us. The time's got to come. We've got to make a fish or cut bait decision on whether we hit Iran directly. I think the time has come where we may have to do that. Coming up, believe it or not, Nikki Haley and DeSantis were asked, would you pardon Donald Trump? You wouldn't believe their answers. I see you on the lines, by the way. Do not hang up. Get back to you right after we come back.
Out for the tie that binds, because you're mine. I walk the line, because you're mine. I walk.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The Foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
Matt Flynn, Director. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Tom of McFarland, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Tom?
Hi, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. And, you know, just to build on what you were saying as far as protests, I agree we need to distinguish between what is legal, constitutionally protected protest and what is illegal protest. And the only way that we can actually do that is by enforcing this. And I think the big reason for why we want to do this is not just because of civil order. It's also because of keeping in mind of what Trump and Republicans often say as far as legal protests. And remember, it was a few, like I think it might have been in 2019, where there was that protest in front of the White House, and Trump wanted to tear gas and bring in the police and just treat the protesters there as if they were violent. And all they were doing was just standing there. But they were saying that this was an illegal protest. And obviously this was, you know, this is exactly what constitutionally protected protest looks like. They want to say that January 6th was legal protest, even though, even by the most broadest definition of descriptions, there's no way in heck that was a legal protest. So the only way that I think we can fight Republicans on this is by making clear what we stand for in terms of legal protest versus illegal protest. What are some thoughts? Thank you.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. Right. That was Lafayette Park, and he had General Milley in camouflage walking with him. General Milley regretted that afterwards and said that that shouldn't have happened. But Trump, remember, at one point afterwards, he even wanted the military to seize the voting machines. But at Lafayette Park, he claimed he wanted to walk over to a church and hold up a Bible. Okay, well, you know, get your own Bible, guy. You don't have to walk to a church to do it. You want to, I mean, we do believe in separation of church and state. You want to do it, go ahead, I guess. But what he did was he went out there and he did have police clear a lot of them. Some of the journalists and some of the protesters were hit. And one had his camera seized and I think smashed. And then Trump walked over. You know, the idea being is that because he's president, his safety has to be protected at all times. But he walks right into the protest. You know, if you're the president and you have Secret Service, if you walk into a protest, yeah, the Secret Service are going to clear people out and they're going to be surprised and somebody may push back. Don't walk into a protest. Use your head. He did it on purpose. He did it on purpose. And that was because at one point he was afraid that he was going to be attacked and he went down into some subterranean holding thing or whatever they have. And then he looked chicken for doing that. So then he wanted to be a big man. And then he wanted to tie into the Bible. Some people said he held it up upside down. I don't want to deal in that kind of detail. It's stay away from busting up peaceful protests, but that's what he did. You're absolutely right. And you make a good point, Tom, and that is this, that the right to protest is in the First Amendment. The right to freedom of religion is the First Amendment. And the right to a peaceful transition of power is innate in the Constitution. The example is George Washington, who stepped down after two terms. He could have stayed for the rest of his life, although sadly he only lived for about 2 years after his second term. And he could have been king. You know, if there were people that monarchists who wanted him to be King George the First of America. And he said, no, that is our example. So what's the difference between a peaceful protest and an illegal protest? And it's a fine line, but I don't think there's any doubt that when you have people on the street going into restaurants, beating up Jewish people, shutting down our airports, and then going along shouting with swastika flags, and essentially at our universities, freezing out a portion of the population. Remember, they have First Amendment rights too, to practice their faith. If you have people that are coming in to shut down your practice of your faith, that's illegal under the First Amendment. You can't say, I have a First Amendment right to shut you down. That's very similar, and there's the legal precedent. If you heckle a speaker and are arrested for creating a disturbance, disorderly conduct, you can't say, wait a minute, my heckling was speech, First Amendment. I was saying, shut up, you're no good, interfering with his speech. The courts uniformly say no. Heckling, the interference with someone else's speech, is not protected free speech. You see what I'm saying? It's not protected free speech. Violence is the ultimate form of heckling. Murder is really the ultimate form of heckling. When you have people who are shutting down discussions, ostracizing some people in their universities, shutting down airports, that is not protected. But you need a president like Joe Biden who understands the difference. He will stand by, and we stand by, lawful First Amendment protected speech and protests, but we will not tolerate this kind of bullying and Kristallnacht moments against a portion of our population. So that's where you have it. In Iowa, DeSantis, Haley are both asked, if Donald Trump is criminally convicted, would you pardon him? They're running against him. If he's criminally convicted, that means the jury of his peers found it beyond a reasonable doubt, not just probable cause, beyond a reasonable doubt that he committed a felony, maybe 91 felonies, tried to overthrow the government. They both said, yes, I would pardon him. They're doing it to suck up to his folks. I get it. But, you know, at some point, you have to have some principle. And they should also understand something. When Gerald Ford pardoned Nixon, that was part of a deal. That was a devil's pact. Nixon said, I'm thinking of stepping down. You'll be the president, but you got to pardon me. Trump said, fine. I mean, Trump is a doofus that came out of Michigan. He was the minority leader of the Republicans, sort of a, you know, generally seen as an affable guy without not a lot between his ears. So he'd do anything to be president. And we don't want that kind of president. And Jimmy Carter beat him. And partially he beat him because of exactly that issue. Exactly that issue. Well, I'll tell you what. There is another case coming up. Another case coming up. We know all about it. This is the one in Iran, Letitia James's case. It's going to be coming up for a decision at the end of this month, and Trump may be on the hook for $250 million, and he may also not be able to do business in New York. Coming to the end of the show, stand by for another great one, Devil's Advocate with Diamond Crew. Great callers as always, Matt Flynn direct. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Signing off for today.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.